Now, first up today, it might be a topic that none of us particularly want to consider, but we have to. And when it comes to buying a home, buying property, life insurance is going to loom large because it is one of the very few insurances that is mandatory, that banks will make sure that you have to have in case something happens to you that means that your mortgage can't be paid. So it's something that most people just buy either as a bundle or a package, or maybe they're just advised, just pick this one, it's not terribly expensive. But some insurance companies have reported that COVID-19 has led to a much greater awareness for the need of life insurance products. I suppose we've all had to face a little bit of our own mortality over the last number of months. But when it comes to mortgages and policies, a lot of people may not realise that they can end up with an unexpected tax bill if they don't do it right. So here to discuss that and more is Mike Knightson, a financial planner from KM Financial. Mike, you're very welcome to the Home Show today.
Sinead, thank you very much and good morning.
Morning. Now, at what stage in their life should somebody look at taking out a life insurance policy? I know it's compulsory for mortgages. Why is that?
It's compulsory for mortgages because ultimately, the law in Ireland is designed to keep people in their family home, with certain exceptions, or if you don't pay for an awful long time, but that's another day's work. But in the main, the person that is lending you, or the institution that's lending you the money, is required to ensure that they get paid back. So the one thing about mortgage protection that most people say to you when you say, have you got life cover? Yeah, I've got mortgage protection. They have life cover, but it's only to cover the debt. They have nothing on themselves. So it's purely to cover the debt.
Okay. And generally that's taken out in conjunction with the mortgage, maybe kind of just for the same term of the mortgage. And its job means that if one of you were to die while that mortgage is in place, the money goes to the bank. So it doesn't go to the family themselves. Isn't that right?
That's it. It clears the loan. If there's a residual amount left on the policy, it will eventually go back to the estate. But in the main, it's only designed to clear the loan. It's like car insurance. If you don't have a crash, it doesn't pay out. You know, it's very disposable.
Okay, all right. And you're suggesting then that people should have additional life insurance, maybe to look after their family, that's separate from the mortgage protection policy, because that's given to the bank, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's assigned to the bank. I think it's a circumstance by circumstance basis. Some people would have death in service through their occupation if they're in certain jobs. Some people would have other life cover. Some people mightn't need it. They mightn't have children. They mightn't have other debts, or they mightn't. Married people, sometimes you can argue they may not need it because a widow's pension will cut in. So everyone is different, but that's the assessment that a broker will do.
Sure. Okay. Now, you're talking there about where people are married. Actually, what I want to talk to you today about is a situation where they're not married. We've seen, you know, a lot of people are cohabiting, they're living together, they may be in second time relationships, and they have a property, so they bought a house in common, and they may just realise very simply, if I die, he gets it, if he dies, I get it, and there's no problem there. But there is, really, or there could be, couldn't there?
Oh, no, there can be massive problems or there can be small problems, depending on the price of the house. And I suppose if you've got a really expensive house, then the problem, like if you're living in Dublin or in Leinster, the probability is the tax bill is going to be quite high. Whereas if you're living further to the west, it may not be as high, but it will be there.
OK, now there's no tax between transfer of assets in a married couple relationship or in a civil partnership. Where does the problem arise?
Well, the problem arises is, If you're not married, if you're just cohabiting, I mean, in Ireland, there are a lot of misconceptions that, and I often hear the expression common law husband or common law wife. That's a UK thing. There is no commonality in Ireland between partners who are living together with a house. Like they may own a house, they may have children. They're seen to be what's known as a class three threshold. So everything they inherit over 16,250 is taxable at 33%. So if you own a house that you bought 250,000 euros, you own half of it, but you only own half of it. So the balance of that half is potentially a tax liability if one of you dies.
So it's treated then by revenue for all intents and purposes as if the person who is deceased has left you a bequest or a gift of some kind.
In effect, that's what's happened. I mean, again, if you take the transferability of assets between spouses or civil partners, you can give a civil partner or a spouse, or you can leave them everything and there's no potential tax bill. But you're deemed to be nothing more than someone else if you don't formalize your partnership in some shape or form.
No more than a neighbor or a friend or a complete stranger.
Pretty much. So right. It is the same as me giving you something.
Mm. So the tax law hasn't really caught up with modern relationships then. Can you give us an example, Mike, of what the numbers we're looking at, what's involved for, say, a typical house?
OK, well, assume your average house price, and I did a bit of research on that, and according to daft.ie, the quarter one house price, average price was €256,000. So if you assume that you have a mortgage of 90% on that, then the potential tax bill on that, if one of you died and you were cohabiting, is nearly €33,000. I won't get into the how and why of the calculations, but you're looking at a substantial bill. So if a house price was 350, then you're looking at another 16,500 tax on that. So a €350,000 house would leave you with the bones of a 50 grand tax.
So effectively what that could mean for a couple is that if one of the party dies, the other is left the house. There's no problem there with the person continuing to live there, except now they have this whopping tax bill and maybe even have to sell the house to pay the bill, which just seems kind of the opposite of what most couples would want for the other person.
Massively so. And even more than that, if you have other assets, so assume you have a mortgage and you have savings, unless if those savings were in an individual's name, they cannot be passed on unless there's a will. Like, I mean, there is no legal right to a partner getting savings or anything else. The only legal right they have is to a joint held asset. So it can get very, very complicated. And we've seen some very messy situations in the last 5 years.
Okay, now, you're not here just to talk about the problem. Give us the solutions, because there are solutions for this, that couples, if they're just thinking ahead or maybe get the right advice, can put in place to avoid that massive tax bill if that were to happen.
Okay, well, I suppose the easiest one is assuming they qualified for what was known as the dwelling house exemption. There are a couple of rules around that, but effectively, if you lived in the house for 3 years before a partner passed on, and for 6 years afterwards, you would be exempt. I mean, that's the bare bones in it.
Yeah, and revenue have been clamping down on that now quite a bit over the last number of years, haven't they? Because there were a lot of wealthy people trying to pass along properties to children.
Well, one of the conditions in it is, and this is where a lot of cohabiting couples get caught, say maybe, for example, you bought your house and then your partner bought another house. You both bought them as first-time buyers. If you have a share in another property, then the dwelling house exemption never counts.
Yeah.
So if you own two properties, your tax bill is going to probably get exponential.
Okay, so that's a very specific circumstance. But for regular couples now who just have one house between them and they are not married or not in a civil partnership, what kind of life insurance solutions are there to avoid that tax bill?
Okay, well, look, I suppose the second thing I would have mentioned, but you could always get married, but we'll move away from that, you know. Or
that might be the cheap. Some will tell you that's not the cheapest option, Mike.
But in the event that you die, you would qualify, or you would get a widow's pension,
sure,
which would be €12,000 a year as well. So there are advantages to that. But there are situations, for example, where people have separated and they haven't yet divorced, where that's not possible. So there are other complications there as well. But you can take out a life policy. You could take out a mortgage protection policy on what's known as a life of another basis. But instead of taking out one policy, you would take out two. So, for example, I would take one out on you and you would take out one on me. And as long as it's coming from an individual bank account, that will solve the problem.
Okay, and that means when the person dies, the proceeds are then used to pay this tax bill. Is that it?
Well, in the first instance, if you're both working, no, what happens is the proceeds, like because it's my policy, I own the policy on you, and the insurable interest is that you're part owner of the house we live in. So, sorry, we haven't, by the way, if anyone's listening, we haven't moved in together. But in that particular instance, what happens is because I own the policy, the funds come to me. So there would still be a small inheritance, and that would be on the amount of the deposit or the value. But because of the 16,000 threshold, it would work out. You know, I mean, that is the simplest one. I mean, if two people are working, it's quite simple to do that.
Okay.
And it's quite cost efficient. Where it can become a problem, because you must pay the money for your policy out of my account. If one of the partners isn't working, then maybe they haven't got the funds to do that. So what you eventually do there is you look at the overall picture and you say, well, look, you could suggest small gifts exemption, and one partner could gift the other partner the money every year. to pay for the policy, which is one way around it.
Okay.
Or another way around it is to take out a policy that's big enough to actually pay the tax bill, but that can be quite expensive as well.
Sure. Okay. I'm speaking with Mike Knightson from KM Financial here on News Talk on the Home Show. Now, Mike, another area which I know a lot of people kind of maybe get advice on when they're taking out a mortgage is the whole area of serious illness policies or critical illness policies. Policies that pay out not if you die, but if you contract maybe a life-limiting illness like cancer or stroke or heart attack. Now, they can be quite expensive, but do you think they're a good idea for somebody on a with a mortgage to protect that mortgage?
Again, it's circumstantial. I mean, it depends what you have through work. If you're working for one of the big multinationals and might have a lot of different benefits, such as income protection or something built in like that, it's probably not such a good idea. If you're a sole trader, if you're running your own business, if you're in a partnership like that, it's worth considering. If there's a family history, it might be worth considering, but I suppose we present it to everybody and we give them the options.
Yeah.
And then we discuss it through with regard to their budget and the options for that. So it can mostly be a good idea, which is a very ambiguous answer.
Okay. Now, I know during COVID, you know, a lot of people are finding money very, very tight. Maybe they haven't gone back to work fully and their finances are jeopardized. So when it comes to financial planning and giving people advice around that, there might be a temptation maybe to cut out things like insurance or stop paying them. What would you advise people who are just finding premiums for everything from pensions to life insurance just that little bit tight at the moment?
Well, I suppose, again, the process we'd use and the way we'd look at it, we'd sit down with them, we'd have a look at their budget, we'd go through everything, we'd look at what's being spent and what's not. It's counterintuitive not to pay a pension payment when the markets are depressed. You know, I mean, you should try and pay when you're buying more, but obviously cash flow is very important. So, but you've got to live now as well. I mean, I'm not one of these people that thinks you should have a massive pension and not have a latte for the next 30 years. I think there is a massive balance between what you do and how you do it. But with regard to life cover, most of the companies out there have allowed a premium holiday for a couple of months and an ability to pay it back over the next 12 months. So if you're struggling with your life cover, then approach your broker, have a chat with them, maybe shop around. Maybe there's better value there from when you've took it up originally. Maybe you've given up smoking, you know, maybe there's other reasons why you can save money.
Okay.
But I would be very loath to lapse a life policy, because if your health has changed in any shape or form, you may not get another one.
Yeah, and certainly where it's attached to a mortgage, you're probably not going to be allowed to do that anyway. All right. Well, listen, Mike, thanks a million for explaining that to us. Where can people find out more, by the way, about this whole area of cohabiting insurance for mortgages?
Okay, well, I suppose I'd always say in the main, ask your broker. There is a lovely new brochure on that. There's a lovely new pamphlet on that from Royal London. So if anybody wants it, and they want it in a hurry, if they email me at mike@kmfinancial, I'll send it on to them. But it's Royal London have some really good work on this.
Good. Okay, and they're a leading life insurance provider.
They are indeed, and as I said, it's in English.
All right. So, it's in English. Okay, well, when it comes to insurance products, I always consider that a huge bonus, right? Okay.
That's just it, and our job is to translate the bit you don't get.
All right, okay. Well, listen, thanks a million, Mike, for coming on and explaining that. And if you have any other questions, then they can get in touch with Mike for that. And we'll be back after this break.
Super, thanks, Sinead.